It is amazing what one little prayer can do.
Amen.
One little prayer can save a soul.
That's right.
One little prayer can heal a heart.
That's right.
One little prayer can heal a body.
That's right.
All it takes is one little prayer.
Amen.
Get your Bibles this morning and turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Christopher Parkinson, considered to be the world's greatest classical guitarist, achieves his musical dreams by the age of 30. By then, he was also a world-class fly fishing champion. However, his success failed to bring him any happiness. Weary of performances and recording sessions, Christopher bought a ranch and gave up on the guitar. But instead of finding happiness after getting away from it all, his life became much emptier. He wrote this: "If you arrive at a point in your life where you have everything that you've ever wanted and thought that would make you happy, and it still doesn't, then you start questioning things. It's the pot of the gold at the end of the rainbow. I had that, and I thought, well, what's left?" That's true. Money will not bring you happiness.
Yeah.
Gold cannot bring you happiness.
Yeah.
Family cannot bring you happiness. Only can we find true happiness in a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
While visiting friends, he attended church and put his faith in Christ. Christopher developed a hunger for scriptures and was struck by 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says this: "Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God."
Amen.
He explains, "I realized that there were only two things I knew how to do: fly fish for trout and play the guitar. Well, I'm playing the guitar today absolutely by the grace of God. I have a joy, a peace, and deep down fulfillment in my life I've never had before. My life now has purpose. I've learned firsthand the true secret of genuine happiness." While I love Christopher's story, it's not all that unique. For those who follow Christ, a newfound purpose should be their norm. But for some Christians who haven't understood or applied the Bible to their lives, life can be pretty much meaningless and not hold much value. I want to change that today. Our title of our message this week, as we continue in our series, My New Life in Christ, my message for today is a new purpose. We all have a new purpose once we give our heart to Christ. We all now have a new desire once we put our faith in Christ. None of us that have been lost and found Jesus have not found that purpose. God gives us a unique purpose in life. God is always working in our life. The Bible said, "He which hath begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." So every one of us has a purpose in life. And we want to talk about this morning the man named Paul. The man named Paul. Paul made it very clear in his writings in the Bible that our main purpose as human beings was to live our lives not for ourselves, but for the glory of God. And the one thing that I've discovered, as have many of you, is that when we seek first and foremost to bring glory to God, our lives blessed as a result.
Amen.
In Philippians chapter 1, if you'll stand with me, we'll read verses 12 through 19. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposed to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Lord in word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your words you've given me this morning. And Lord, we know that we have a purpose in the life, and our purpose is to bring glory to you, to bring honor to you as we come into their house today. We pray, God, that all of us would realize that you deserve our praise. You deserve our honor. You deserve everything we can give to you. And Lord, help us to see that through the life of the Apostle Paul today, how he, once he met you on the Damascus Road, how his life turned around and how he became the spirit and the one that would reach the world for Christ through his message and through his preaching of the gospel. We pray, God, that you would help us today to preach your word and to teach those things you've given us. And we pray, God, that you would help those that are here to have ears to hear. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
There are five specific lessons about purpose in the text we'll be looking at today. Number one, purpose defines who we are. Purpose defines who we are. If you ask the average person on the street to define themselves, they most likely would tell you about their occupation, where they're from, how many kids they have, or something along those lines. We tend to find our identity in the things that we do and from personal experiences. When our core purpose is to bring glory to God, we find our identity not in what we do or in where we're from, but in who we worship. The focus is directed away from ourselves and towards our relationship with God. When we know why we are here and dedicate ourselves to living out our purpose, that purpose begins to define who we are. We could say that our purpose not only tells us where to go, but true that if we truly adopt it as the good news and the goal of our lives, it will transform us into different people. Now, when Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, he was doing time in prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know if you realize it, but Paul wrote the book of Philippians from a jail cell. Right. He had been captured for preaching the gospel of Christ. Right. None of us today are jailed for preaching the gospel of Christ. Now, people in the foreign countries are many times jailed for preaching Christ. I read every day about missionaries getting jailed and getting killed for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't have to worry about that in our society today. Look in verse 12. Paul says, "But I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." So Paul here in prison, most likely shackled to a prison guard as he is writing this letter, with all the trappings of prison life surrounding him, he says in so many words, "My personal circumstances will work towards fulfilling my purpose." Paul didn't let prison stop him. He didn't let prison keep him from preaching the gospel. Paul was put in prison for preaching, but he still preached from prison. How much courage did that take? You're put in jail for preaching the gospel, but you still preach the gospel when you're in jail. Paul was a brave man, wasn't he? Listen, he doesn't say, "You know, this really stinks. I'm out of here working for God and I end up in this lousy prison. Where is God at when I need him the most?" He didn't say that. Paul didn't say, "Why would God let this happen to me? Why would God let me end up in prison? Why has God abandoned me? Has he left me all alone? Has he abandoned me completely?" He didn't say any of that. Instead, he looks at his circumstances and said, "How can God use this to glorify himself through me?" He does not define himself or his situation by what has gone wrong in his life, but who it is that he serves. In other words, he long ago discovered that he lived not for himself, but for the God who created him. When we take this ideal of bringing glory to God seriously, every circumstance we find ourselves in will be defined by our commitment to serve our Maker. This is what we need to do. No matter what we're facing, no matter what we go through, no matter how bad the situation seems, we need to understand that we can glorify God in any situation. I did that when Terry passed away. It was hard. It was hard for me to glorify God losing my best friend of 43 years. But I still glorified God because I knew he had a purpose for my life. I knew he had a purpose for taking her home. I knew he had a purpose for everyone in the church. I knew God would keep me and sustain me and provide for my every need, so I glorified God anyway. Yeah. Even though I lost my best friend, I still glorified God. Secondly, purpose directs our future path. When I know why I'm here on this planet, it determines where I'm going with my life. It also determines how I will deal with whatever life hands me. It is my Christian roadmap to God's preferred future. Now, let me take a moment to explain what I mean by that. I don't mean that my purpose makes things happen the way I want them to, but instead it gives me the ability to contend with whatever happens to me in a God-honoring way. So even when negative things take place in my life, even those things that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy, I still can rest in the security that God has not left me and live in the assurance of his grace. Notice what Paul said again in verse 12. "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." Paul realized that he was sent to prison. He realized he was chained to a guard. But he said, "Everything that's happened to me is furtherance of the gospel." He didn't complain. He didn't moan. He didn't groan. Paul said, I'm going to glorify God whether I'm in prison or out of prison. I'm going to glorify God no matter what comes my way. Notice what Paul said. Notice he doesn't say, God planned for bad things to happen to me, like this prison, a thorn in my flesh, persecution, and so on. But instead, he says that the way he has dealt with these negative situations has helped to advance the gospel. That's my goal, is to advance the gospel, just like Paul's. No matter what happens to me, my goal is to advance the gospel into the world. I'm just like Paul. No matter if they put me in prison, no matter if anything happens to me, like the losing of my wife, I'm still going to spread the gospel everywhere I go. I'm still, everything that happens to me over life, I'm still going to spread the gospel just like Paul. If Paul had not been living according to his purpose, most likely his reaction to this adverse circumstances of life wouldn't have helped to spread the good news of the gospel, but instead would have reflected negatively on the God he claimed to worship. When we truly understand and accept our purpose, our future path might not line with peace and prosperity. When we go down God's path, it may not always be good. It might not always work out the way we want it to. But God says, my purpose is the best purpose. My purpose for your life is the best purpose. We need to understand that. Anytime God leads us, he's going to lead us into prosperity. So how do we apply this practically to our everyday experience? Before making a decision or before reacting to a crossroad that has come into your life, we ask God this question. How might you best be glorified in this? How can I glorify you more through this trouble that I'm facing? How can I glorify you more through those problems I'm facing? Which path would you lead to spread God's good news in Jesus? If I took the other path, what would happen to my Christian witness? Those answers are usually not hard to come by. What is difficult is focusing on God's glory rather than in our own glory. But it must be done that way if you truly are going to experience God at the utmost intimate level. Thirdly, purpose testifies to our faith. When we're living out our purpose, it is inevitable that it will testify to others about our faith in Jesus Christ. When Paul was in prison, he said this, his purpose was evident to all. Look in verse 13. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest, are made known in all the palace and in all other places. Paul didn't care he was in prison. Paul said, I'm going to preach the word in the palace and in every other place I go. Even in the prison, I'm going to tell people about Jesus. I'm going to tell people about the one that saved my soul. Have you ever read this and wondered how the soldiers in the palace guard knew that Paul was in chains because of Christ? I believe it was because he wore his purpose to bring glory to God like a garment. It wasn't an eye in your face type of thing, but a living a life that was so determined in his purpose and desire to serve the Lord that it couldn't be missed. Paul's imprisonment, instead of shutting the door to the gospel, open the door to new spheres of work and activity which he would never penetrated otherwise. Do you think he would have preached to these prison guards if he wasn't in prison? No, that gave him a brand new field of people to preach to. He preached to the prison guards. He preached to the prisoners. He preached to everyone around him. Paul had a brand new mission field as he went in the prison. And with a willing participant declaring his name, God was able to use these circumstances to grow his kingdom and spread the message of his son. We live in a world where very few people understand their purpose in life. So when you are sitting here, understand your purpose and begin to live it out. The people around you are going to stand up and take notice. Fourthly, purpose equips others for ministry. As I just said, living out our purpose will be a testimony to the unchurched, but it will also be a testimony to those who are in Christ. Yet, who have yet to discover what it means to live their lives on purpose? Paul did. Look in verses 14 through 17. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Paul realized that these people that knew him, many brethren in the Lord, that waxed confident in still preaching the gospel of Christ. That's what our mission is. Our mission is to take what we learn in the church. It's my mission to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That's what the Bible says. It's your job to spread the gospel in the community. It's my job to spread the gospel in the community. It's our mission to do what Paul said these people did. Some indeed preach envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely supposing to add to my affliction, but the other preached of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Paul knew that these people that followed him would take his imprisonment and use it for the glory of God. Paul had men that would come to the prison and take his letters back to the churches. Paul had men that would take what Paul had written and construct it and preach it in areas of the Asia and all around where Paul taught. Listen, my friend, Paul's mission didn't stop when he went in jail. Paul had people out there in the fields still preaching the gospel, still telling people about Jesus. Notice what it said. Some preached of contention, but others preached of love. Listen, you're not going to get everybody that's going to preach the good news of Christ. Everybody that goes out in the world may preach hell. They may preach hell and nothing but hell and drive people away. We need to preach the love of Christ. We need to preach about how much God loves us, how he died on the cross to save us, how he loved us so much that he gave his only life so that we might have a relationship with God. Later on, people need to know about hell. You don't go out and tell people you're going to go to hell if you don't accept Jesus. What's that going to do? That's going to drive them away. You tell them about the love of Jesus. You tell them about how much God loves them, how much He loved them to send His Son to die for them on the cross and give His life and shed His blood so that they might have a relationship with God. That's what we need to be spreading. That's what we need to be telling people. Fifthly, purpose causes us to celebrate. Notice what Paul said in verse 18 and 19. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. Notice that. Whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is still preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and I will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Paul said, the message is going to get out of contention or love. No matter how it gets out, it's getting out. Listen, every preacher doesn't preach the same. Every preacher doesn't deliver the message the same. But it still has the same result. If we preach Christ and Him crucified, and He is the only way to heaven, souls will be saved. That's all that matters. It doesn't matter how you preach, how elegant you are, that you're getting the message across is the main focus of our message. And that's what Paul said. Paul said, I don't care if they preach whether pretense or in truth, Christ is still preached. Doesn't matter how He's preached, He's still preached. And therein do I rejoice, yea, and I will rejoice. Paul said, I'm in this prison cell. I'm here, but the message is still getting out. I'm here, bound in chains, but the message is still getting out to the world. He didn't worry about him being in prison. What an interesting passage this is. There are people who are preaching the gospel with impure motives. Yet Paul still rejoices because the message is being preached. Perhaps this should teach us something about Christ. Perhaps this should teach us something about those who teach the gospel but do not live it out. While they themselves live in jeopardy, they are still being used by God to lead others to the kingdom, and for that we rejoice. I don't like Joel Osteen because he preaches love, love, love. He never preaches on hell. He never preaches on condemnation. He never preaches what people should live like. He never preaches on the judgment of God. He never preaches on that we're all going to stand in judgment one day for our works, and the lost are going to stand one day at the great white throne judgment for the denial of Christ. He never preaches that, but he's still preaching. He's still getting the gospel message out. That I can say. He's still getting the love of God out. Listen, when we live by our purpose to bring glory to God, we will, in effect, find many things to celebrate that otherwise we would not have. Paul could rejoice, and we can rejoice, because we know that even when the end of all things is near, we have lived out our purpose in our lives and been doing that God is glorified because we lived out our life on purpose. Listen, my friend, God has given us a purpose. And what is that purpose? That purpose is to bring glorify Him, to bring glory to Him in everything we do, to tell others about the Savior, to tell others about Jesus Christ. Listen, my friend, we as a church need to understand that God has a mission for all of us. You may not realize your mission. Your mission is to tell others about the Savior. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about His love. Tell them about what He did for them by going to the cross, by being born into this world, by a virgin, living a perfect, sinless life 33 and a half years before He went to the cross. Christ never sinned. He never went against anything His Father was calling Him to do. He always followed the path of righteousness. Christ, even when He got angry, He had a purpose. Even when He threw the money changers out of the temple, He had a purpose. Even when He talked to those that were down and lost in the pit of hell, He had a purpose. God always has a purpose for you and I today. And that purpose is to tell others about Jesus. Listen, my friend, Paul could rejoice, and we can rejoice today because the gospel is still the life-changing message that can change a life. It's the same message Paul preached. Christ and Him crucified. Christ and Him risen again. Christ and Him sitting at the right hand of the Father. It's the same gospel message, but it still has the same impact today as it did 2,000 years ago. Listen, my friend. The gospel message has not changed. It's still Jesus and Him crucified. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. It's still that way. It's still Jesus. It's still salvation through Jesus Christ plus nothing or minus nothing. It's by grace that we are saved. Through God's grace are we saved. Through our faith in Jesus Christ. That has not changed since Paul wrote those words thousands of years ago. It's still the same way it was long ago. Christ has not changed. His message has not changed. Nothing about Him has changed. And the way to God has not changed. It's through Jesus Christ and Him alone. Many people will tell you today there's many ways to God. I'm here to tell you there's only one way to God, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Jesus Christ shed blood applied to your life is the only way you'll ever reach the Father. Listen, my friend. Many people out there today, many Baptist preachers have got away from preaching the blood. Many Baptist preachers have got away from preaching that Jesus is the only way. Why is that? Because they want to satisfy the multitudes. They want to satisfy the crowd. They do not want to offend anybody. Let me tell you something. I would rather offend you and get you in heaven than to not offend you and you split hell wide open.
Amen.
Listen, my friend. The message of the gospel is offensive to a lot of people, but it's truth. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ only for salvation, and He is the only one that can save your soul, and He is the only one that can give you eternal life, and He is the only one that can make a way to God the Father is offensive to a lot of people. So be it. It may be offensive to you, but it's truth. It's gospel truth. And I want you to listen today. I hope your purpose is to live for Christ and to worship and to spread His message to as many people as possible. Is that your purpose today? I hope it is. If not, maybe today would be a good day to start over and make it your purpose from this point forward. God has given all of us a purpose. And that new purpose that we get when we get the new life in Christ is to serve God, to glorify Him, to bring as many people as we can into the kingdom of God. That's our purpose. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come bring your word today. We pray, God, that you would be glorified and you would be blessed through the singing and through the worship we offer here at this church. Amen. We ask you, Lord, that you would give us the opportunity to touch someone's heart this week, yes, to tell them about Jesus, to lead them to the throne of grace. We ask you, Lord, that if there be anyone here that does not know you in free pardon of forgiveness, that they might come today and accept you as Lord and Savior. Yes. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen. Amen.